It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
On Wednesday, the government announced new energy reforms in its energy package. This follows a review into the sector being undertaken by Frontier Economics. Despite this, the government has decided not to follow a significant amount of recommendations within the review. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court, I spoke to Court about this package and some of the backlash the government has received from the sector regarding it. We also discussed Samuel Leeson, Rana Hamida and Yosef Samoa being detained in Israel by attempting to deliver aid into Gaza. The interception of these vessels is illegal under international law, as the interceptions took place in the Mediterranean Sea between 70 to 80 nautical miles off of the Gazan coast. This comes a month after over 100 humanitarian groups have signed an open letter calling for Israel to allow essential aid into the besieged Gaza Strip. They say they are not authorized to deliver aid unless they comply with tough Israeli measures. I also spoke to Court about the three New Zealand detainees and what the government is doing to get them home. But first, we discussed energy reforms. What is the aim of these energy reforms?
Well, the energy market conditions have got progressively worse since 2018. It's putting Kiwis out of work as manufacturing businesses close, forcing households to choose between keeping the lights and heaters on or paying other bills. So the changes that we've announced are intended to provide confidence to the market to invest in what matters, rather than completely upend it like some commentators have called for. And just for a bit of background, much of the blame for high power prices rests in the lack of firming options for investors who want to bring cheaper renewables into the market, but were struggling to get a contract for gas and coal backup, because when the wind doesn't blow, we have a dry year, obviously at night you can't get solar energy. These renewable investors still need firm electricity. So one of the things we've done is we've said, look, if these gentailers want to bring a proposal to the government to invest in gas and coal, then the government will look very kindly on supporting that investment. We've said, go out to the market, place equity in the market. In other words, go and offer shares to new investors. The government will match that. And just a range of other changes to the regulatory regime to make it easier to invest.
The government has essentially rejected 8 of the 10 recommendations in the Frontier Review, including 5 of the report's main recommendations. Why is this?
Well, some of the recommendations, like selling the existing gentailer shares that the government holds and investing it in a coal-fired power station, seem to be a bit of a moonshot, frankly, and unlikely to deliver the outcomes that Kiwis need. And also, if you think about how the government's scarce capital should be allocated, if we are going to liberate that lazy capital from the gentailer assets the Crown owns, we need to put up an investment case, for a coal-fired power station, say, against other already identified investment needs, like hospitals, schools, defence accommodation for our Defence Force personnel living in really old, grotty homes, and of course roads, highways and transport. So it didn't make any sense for the government to be selling electricity assets to put them into a coal-fired power station. Now, that's a decision for another day, probably for the next government.
You've mentioned that this package has received some criticism from the sector. The Auckland Business Forum has called the announcement a missed opportunity, with the major electricity users group's John Harbund saying there is nothing in this that's going to make a difference to affordability in the next decade. He said this on RNZ's 9 to Noon. Why do you think these groups are maybe a little bit disappointed by these announcements?
Well, I've met with both of those groups and I do understand their perspective. However, we need to balance it against other objectives, and that is long-term stability. The previous government had a project they were cooking up called the Lake Onslow Dam, and that was to be maybe a $10 or $15 billion project that itself was going to take a decade or two to build in the South Island. And while that project was on the books, The private sector was just not prepared to invest in new generation that essentially might be sterilised by a government mega project. So we've taken that off the books. We've also said, in terms of security for investors, the government is going to underwrite sovereign risk. In other words, the contracts that we're prepared to enter into are going to recognise very clearly that if a future government comes along and tears up the contract, there's a cost to that future government. Whereas, you know, in the past, you know, the previous government, that tore up the ability for companies to go and explore for the next oil and gas field. And remember, the next one is literally on the other side of a line on a map. They're right there. They're available now to be drilled into. They tore up that opportunity, you know, where people had, you know, if not banked on, at least had some certainty about where they were going next with their energy investment. So I understand the concerns, but we are restoring certainty to the market. And there's some other stuff we've done, which I know that John Harbord and others would be pleased with. We've put resource management consenting for thermal energy, that's coal and gas-fired power station, on the same one-year priority pathway that renewables get. So what it means is, if one of the gentailers or if a Contact Energy or a new entrant to the market turns up and says, we want to build a gas peaker next year, you know what? They can go and apply for the consent and it has to be issued within 12 months. That's going to give a huge amount of certainty to their investors. So there's a lot more happening in the government's approach to the energy sector than just in last week's announcement. And I think that once all of these changes settle and people become familiar with them, they'll feel a lot more confident about where we're heading.
In an ACT Party press release, you say, and I quote, "We're removing bureaucratic and regulatory barriers that have made energy projects costly or unfeasible, whether it's hydro, gas, wind, geothermal, solar, or even one day nuclear. A new resource management system will make it easier to build." I want to touch on the even one day nuclear part there. Would the ACT Party consider bringing back nuclear energy to Aotearoa shores?
Well, if we had even had nuclear energy, we could bring it back. But it's one of those technologies that New Zealand was never in a position to take advantage of when that technology was new. But now, when you look around the world at the small to medium nuclear reactors, you know, these things can be installed out the back of a factory, you know, on an industrial site and power industry. It's something that we're going to need to be open to in the near future, is this technology, which is essentially resilient to all kinds of hazards. We're going to have to be open to looking at options like that. Now, I doubt very much whether that's something we're going to need in the next decade, but we need to make sure that our planning system, our environmental management system, is up to the introduction of these new kind of technologies.
For our second topic, three New Zealanders, Samuel Leeson, Rana Hamida and Yosef Samoa, have been detained by Israel following the three attempting to deliver essential aid to Gaza on the global Sumud flotilla. What are the government doing to get these three back to the country?
Well, the government has sent a representative to meet with these three individuals who are currently banged up in Israel because they tried to break a naval blockade of Hamas-controlled Gaza, a blockade that's been in place since 2008, what turns out for very good reasons, because Hamas were planning to and did attack Israel and kill and kidnap civilians on October 7, 2023, and that's 2 years ago tomorrow. But obviously, thank goodness, it sounds like Hamas are almost defeated and may even agree to release the remaining hostages this week. But you know, as far as these three individuals are concerned, you know, they will get the kind of consular and diplomatic support that New Zealand can extend to its citizens wherever they are around the world. But you know, let's be clear, sailing into a war zone is not a smart idea, and MFAT does not have a regular diplomatic presence in Israel. And so I know they'll do their best, but you know, like the Prime Minister said, we've confirmed with Israel we expect our citizens to be treated in accordance with the law, but, you know, we don't have any other information at this time.
That kind of touches on a little bit of my next question here, but Leeson's dad, Adi Leeson, says the 18-year-old and the other detainees have been, and I quote, have been zip-tied with their hands behind their back and forced to kneel for 5 hours, no water provided, and no toilet facilities and no medical care, and that there's 11 people in one cell, so they're sort of crammed in there.
following British diplomats speaking with Samuel. These are quite concerning claims. Has the government been in contact with anyone directly who has been able to verify the conditions these activists are being held in?
Well, I understand that one of New Zealand's consular partners in Tel Aviv met with the detained New Zealanders and provided support on Friday to them. But we won't be commenting further on individuals' cases for privacy reasons. But I just want to also point out that these individuals have gone and tried to break a naval blockade, and their claims of wanting to deliver aid to Gaza just don't stack up. Around 2 million tonnes of aid has been delivered into Gaza over the past 2 years. A single truck can carry around 25 tonnes. So it's hard to see this flotilla they were participating in carrying a few tonnes of aid as anything but a stunt and an opportunity for selfies. So I'm sure they'll have time to reflect while they're in Israeli detention on whether the stunt has been worth it. But in the meantime, I'm confident that the New Zealand Ministry for Foreign Affairs and Trade is doing all that it needs to support these individuals.
And when can we expect these three to return to the country?
Well, again, I don't have that information, and the government won't be talking about these individuals to protect their own privacy. But I would expect, you know, if it's anything like how we saw Greta Thunberg treated the last time she participated in a flotilla and in one of these stunts. You know, she spent a little bit of time there, time for reflection. She was given the sandwich and then given a free flight home. So I'm sure it won't be too long.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on the government's energy reforms and what the government is doing to get Samuel Leeson, Rana Hamida and Yosef Samoa home. We'll be right back. Text 53095 with any of your thoughts on these pieces.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.